NFL Hall of Famer Andre Tippett. Good to see you, Andre. How are you?
Good to see you guys. I'm doing very well.
Now, picture this, okay? This is a chapter that Andre wrote in a book called The Good Men Project. All right, now picture this. Andre Tippett is being chased home from school in Newark, New Jersey, every day. Being chased home from school. And one day his mom meets him on the front steps and says, Andre, you go back and fight those boys, because otherwise they're going to chase you home from school every day. Andre dives off the steps into the pile of them, and that, I guess, was sort of the beginning of your interest in defending yourself and martial arts and things like that.
Absolutely. I remember that story like it was yesterday. One of my neighbors pulled my mother's coattail to what was happening, and right around 3 o'clock, I'd come running home. And finally, my mother was standing right there on the steps, and she looked right at me. I thought the boys were going to take off, but they didn't take off. They stood down at the bottom of the steps, and she said, either you're going to take care of them or you and I are going to have a problem. And I did what I had to do. I got tired of getting chased home, and it was unbelievable. But it was a changing point in my life.
Talk about just your writing here. Like, what led to you writing this essay in this book in the first place?
Well, it came to me through Tom Matlock and a relationship that we have here within the Patriot organization. And they were looking to do this book, and he told me what was going on. And the two things that I liked about it was, one, he said I could talk about the martial arts and how important it's been to me. And two, that all of the proceeds from the book were going to go directly to the foundation, which Boys and Girls Club is one of the benefactors, Dorchester Youth Alternative Academy, and Street Potential, one of the groups that would be getting the money. I love that. And I wasn't looking to make anything out of it. And but I got a chance to talk about something that is really near and dear to my heart, martial arts training. It has done tremendous things for me through my life. I've met a lot of people. I've gotten the chance to train in the Orient and train with some of the highest ranking masters in various martial arts. I know people in Japanese systems, Okinawan systems, Kobudo systems, and it's just a entourage of people out there that are really qualified to be great teachers out there, and it's been fun.
What level are you at now in martial arts?
I'm fifth dan in our system, our association, master ranking. I also have a master's instructor's license, which basically says that I know how to teach people to certain ranks, and it's something that is ongoing. And through my essay, I use the word Shoshin, which means the heart of a beginner, which is the philosophy that I still carry today in the martial arts, because there really isn't a point that you get to that I'm here and I can't learn anymore. You still keep that beginner heart, that white belt mentality, that even at fifth degree black belt, sixth degree black belt, eighth degree black belt, ninth degree black belt, I'm still training, I'm still learning to get better. And through that, I was able to talk about my beginning, where I was in my training when I trained in New Jersey, and then when I got to Iowa, what I found out about things. Not saying the things that I learned in New Jersey were wrong. It was just at that particular time in that environment, I needed to be that way. And then when I got to Iowa, I learned out a ton about foundation, history, philosophy, the roots of the system, different things that are out there that just kind of blew me away. You know, there were books out there that I didn't know much about, books and different things like that that were out on the karate system. Man, you go to my house now, I got probably hundreds and hundreds of books on Okinawan Japanese systems that are just intriguing, because you still, to this day, you can learn from those books and what they have to offer. And but through that and that beginning of being around people that were doing what we call a traditional martial arts, I was able to come here 1982 and continue my training and further my training through the association and the people that I've been with 26, 27 years.
You know what's funny, Dale, is that I was just listening to him talk about the martial arts and all the books you have and all the people you've met. I'll bet you there's a segment of people who know you And when they heard you were going to the Hall of Fame, I guess he's doing something big in football, this Hall of Fame thing. When you get done with that little that Hall of Fame thing, come back and talk to us.
You don't know how many people. You don't know how right you are. There were three people at my Hall of Fame induction that were martial arts. My sensei, my teacher, Steve Banchek, who's been my teacher since 1982 in the Okinawan Waichiru system. One of my dojo mates, and Jim Thompson, who is like the highest ranking African American in Waichiru, who came in from Kalamazoo, Michigan, him and his wife, who's an Okinawan woman that he married, and he trained in Okinawa for 15 years. And they were there. And it was funny that you say that. I sent out invitations to my Kobudo instructor, who I do weapons with out in San Francisco, and you know, no response. And some of my other karate buddies that I've been training and competed with over the years, and no response. And I've been at seminars with these guys where we've training, and you know, it's like, hey, how you doing? There's no, hey man, congratulations on the Hall of Fame, man. That's why I say, you know, although Hall of Fame is a great honor, it's very humbling. And it's cool. There are people out there that, yeah, okay, so, but let's get back down to training. You're still doing, you know, you still got a ways to go in your training. So it's been cool.
There's a great piece in today's Boston Herald written by Ron Borges with Tom Brady. And Tom Brady tells Ron Borges, I don't believe I'm very good. And he says that. And he talks about, you know, if he doesn't put in the time, if he doesn't put in the work, he's not very good. Now, and we look at it from the outside and say, what are you, nuts? And it goes back to a story you tell in this article about at training camp, every time they draft a linebacker, you would think that linebacker's coming in and taking your job.
Any day.
You trained every day.
Absolutely. I went hard every day in practice. I assumed that because every year we would draft an outside linebacker or an inside linebacker, I looked over my shoulders. And that kept me humble.
Sounds like Brady the same way that you are.
Absolutely. And you have to assume that there's somebody waiting to take your job. I mean, when I came in my rookie year, I was looking at guys that I'm quicker than this guy. I'm bigger than this guy. I think I have an opportunity. So I'm like, okay, 5 years into it, 10 years into it, they're drafting people, and I'm like, Andre, you have to keep doing what you're doing. You have to go hard all the time. You can't be out there brother-in-law with people out in practice, and you win one play, I win one play, and it's now I got to go hard. I'm going to piss my teammates off. I'm not hurting anybody, but I'm just not going to let up. I'm going to be physical. I have to practice like I'm going to play, because if you don't, that's usually when you get hurt.
And that's how people end up in the Hall of Fame, when they have that attitude. And when you have the physical skills, but you add to it the attitude Brady sounds like he has and that you obviously had, that's
absolutely
the difference.
Absolutely. And when he's done doing his thing, we know what's going to be waiting for him. But it's great to hear that he's doing the things that he's doing to prepare and stay prepared throughout the season, and the mindset, because you have to have that mindset, because at some point when you're done with it, there's going to be a cleansing of the body and the soul when you decide to walk away from the game. And you're going to know when it's time to get away. I know it happened for me when I finally made the decision to retire and I walked away, and it was like, okay, all right, what do I do now? And, you know, you go into your next endeavor in life. But you have to have that mentality, especially in football, because it is a very physical, it's a very demanding game. I tell people all the time, it's a hand-to-hand combat. It's physical. We're modern-day gladiators. And it's no place for the weak. I tell my young Pop Warner team players, I tell them all the time, I said, hey, everybody can't do what you guys do. The guys that are playing on this team right now, you guys are special, because a lot of your friends are hanging out with their buddies, home playing on PS3 or texting and walking the streets, hanging around, having fun, where you guys are in practice, getting yelled at, hitting each other, where you don't really want to do that because it isn't a natural thing. So, you know, at every step of the way, you know, this game is a very physical game, and you have to find something that's going to help you get through it. I happen to have martial arts training. I saw at a later age and a later stage in my life that the value of what it offered me and how it gave me that mindset that, you know, there's a philosophy, knock me down 7 times, I get up 8. The whole thing behind that is, I am going to wear you out. I am not going to quit. As much as you may get some good licks in on me, I'll never let you know that you got the best of me, because I'm going to keep going, steadfast, constantly in your face. And if somebody's going to wear out. It's either going to be me or you, but because of the
but
training.
It's not
going
to be me.
I'm going to keep going. I'll talk about it later. I'm like, oh, geez, you know, I got worn out. But they were like, oh, you played hard, though, man. You were gone. So you have to define something that defines who you are.
Now, you mentioned hand-to-hand combat in the NFL. Got a big game on Sunday in Indianapolis. How do you see that one playing out? Do you see the Colts taking their first loss of the year?
Oh, man. I tell you what, it's going to be an exciting game. Everybody's waiting to see it. Everybody's talking about it. You know, I don't think there's any hype behind it. I think it's going to live up to everything that is being hyped up about it. Two of the greatest quarterbacks that are playing in the league today, Peyton and Brady. And then I think where we have the edge with Belichick, I don't want to sound like a homer, but, you know, we have that edge. Jim Caldwell, who, you know, he's been around. He has some experience. So that, you know, that should be interesting to watch those two go at it. I think that, you know, they're going to have to bring some pass rush to get to Tom to disrupt anything that we're going to try to do offensively. But it should be a good game. I think that that series has been around long enough that people really look forward to seeing what it's all about.
Do you buy into the most desperate team philosophy? I've always said that if you've got two teams that are pretty equal, pretty similar, and I think these two teams are pretty close, that the team that needs the win the most usually gets the win. And in this case, the Patriots are absolutely more desperate in that regard. They lose this, they got no chance for home field playing these guys in the playoffs.
Well, I think, yeah, in a way that I think every week is that way for the Patriots football team. I think Belichick's philosophy and the way he talks to guys and the way he gets these guys prepared during the week is, hey, you know, every game is important. We won't place a specific value on that game, but we need to win. And we need to do things. We need to play smart. We need to not make turnovers. We need to not get penalized. We need not to do stupid things in the fourth quarter. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if I answered that, but I think every week is that week that way for us here.
Yeah, but and I agree with you. That's how they play it.
Mm-hmm.
But behind closed doors, some games are bigger than others too.
It's a big game. It is a big game, and it does matter with us getting a win there because, yeah, hindsight being what it is, obviously we're going to want to have something here late in the season, late in the year. So if we do what we're supposed to do and take care of our business, they're vulnerable, and hopefully we'll take advantage of their vulnerability.
I got to ask you one last martial arts question. And, again, Andre wrote a great article called Heart of a Beginner. And this is what I'm curious about. You're a big man.
Right.
Very fit. I mean, you would be an intimidating man. Have you competed against guys a lot smaller than you physically who could compete with you just because of their training and their skills?
Yes, yes. I'll have to give you you guys a DVD of some of my fights over the years. I've fought against guys that are my size. I've fought against guys that are Mike's size, maybe a little smaller. And the thing that blew people away was the quickness and getting off the mark. When we compete in Kumite, it's a fast game of touch. And it's physical touch, though. I mean, reverse punches, front kicks. You don't do anything that's going to leave you out there and leave you vulnerable. But where I had the advantage was I was as quick as those smaller guys that were 5'9", 5'7", 140 pounds, or 160, 70 pounds. And it was just the quickness that I was able to contribute to my wins. But I've been against some people that their hands were just a little bit faster than mine. I had the reach. I got in there. But because they had a little quick twitch about them, they got to me. But I have some interesting things on tape that you guys will love to see sometime.
We'd love to see
I'd love to see
it. We'd love to see it. As a matter of fact, we'd even put it on our website so people could check it out.
See Andre out there beating people up. No, that's not what they do.
Hey, if you don't mind, as part of the Good Men Project, and this is a great book, it's my wedding anniversary today. And
today?
I don't wish my wife a happy anniversary. I'm going to get killed, but it's 16 years for us, so happy anniversary, honey.
Well, and, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's very nice. And your Pop Warner team's pretty good, too, aren't they?
They're getting there. We're a work in progress. We lost a big game in our playoff game against Easton, and but you know what? We're getting there. I got a great group of kids that I've been fortunate to work with these guys for about 5 years. My son's on the team, and I think at some point the light bulb is going to go off for those guys and understand what it's about. I ask one thing of these guys: compete against the person that's across from me. That's all. I don't care how good you tackle, how many touchdowns you can make. I just, as long as you're competing against the person in front of you, you're going to always give yourself a chance. Until we get that total concept where 11 against 11 are getting after people, you know, we sometimes have six getting after people and six that are kind of standing around looking.
I've seen the Cleveland Browns play like that.
It's been a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work, and it's what we do. I have an opportunity to do something that I really love, to coach my son, coach his buddies. And, Jonathan Kraft was the one who convinced me to do that. He coached his son Harry for a lot of years, and Harry's now at Belmont Hill playing for the seventh grade football team there. But he convinced me to say, Tip, if you have the opportunity, you should do it. Don't pass up that opportunity.
Do the kids know you played?
Oh, they do. They do.
Because I figured they're so young, they might not have. I mean, many of them probably never got to see you play.
Last year's team got a chance to be part of the whole Hall of Fame stuff. So they were here for the ring ceremony. Some of them saw the induction speech, and, you know, they were just gleaming the fact that, you know, my coach is, a Hall of Famer, and, you know, they have fun. They listen to me. They listen to me. They get a little wild sometimes, but when it's time to compete on Sundays, getting ready to prepare, they, you know, eyes on coach, and they understand the importance of some of the things that I say. And, yeah, I just try to pass on what was passed on to me to them. And hopefully someday that we get a chance to play a little further. We keep losing these playoff games. I think they're going to fire me or something.
At least you're in the playoffs.
It got to be in the playoffs to win.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Hey,
exactly.
Congratulations. A happy anniversary to you, too, by the way.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys for having me on here and promoting the Good Men's Project. It's a great book, and I hope people get a chance to get out there and read it. It's a lot of life lessons in that book that we all have the opportunity to learn from, a lot of life lessons that we've all had that chance to do,
including Andre's chapter called Heart of a Beginner.
It's great.
Always good to visit with you.
Thank you guys for having me.